Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. It's now time for us to seek the Lord in prayer. And I invite those that are willing to come up and kneel with me. And as far as possible, wherever you are, let's kneel and seek the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful this morning that you have found favor in our lives, O God, to make it possible for us to be here. It's never because of our abilities or our will, O God, that we're even able to get up this morning. But you made it possible. You are so full of grace, O God, and so full of love. And that's why, Father, we want to stop and say thank you. We just want to lift up your name and honor you and glorify it, O God, for who you are, for the love that you have for us, for the many blessings, O God, that you continue to bestow upon us, even in our sinful nature. We ask, O God, that you may help turn our hearts, O God, that, dear Father, we may have hearts that are submissive to your will. This morning, dear Father, we want to ask in a special way that you may search our hearts. We know we have committed sin against thee because of our nature. And Father, we just pray that you may help us, O God, that we may be right in your sight this morning. And there are those sins, Father, that we have committed against one another, knowingly or unknowingly. And Father, we pray today that you may help us be submissive. And Father, make it possible for us to ask for forgiveness for those that we've erred. And Father, this morning we just want to invite the presence of the Holy Spirit here as we continue to fellowship and to worship thee, that, dear Father, he may not only dwell among us, but even in our hearts, that we may especially receive that blessing that you've set aside for each one of us and for all of us collectively. Dear Father, we are so excited about the message that you've given Dick, and we pray, our Father, that we may be attentive, that, dear Father, we may receive that message as you intended it to be received by our hearts. We pray for strength for him as well as he stands in front of us. He's only human. We know he may err as he speaks to us, but we pray, Father, that you may touch his lips and his tongue, that he may only speak that you've prepared for him to speak to us. This morning, we also want to remember those that have not been able to come here to fellowship and worship with us, that you may bless them, O God, wherever they are. They may have burdens, O God, that are on their hearts, but we pray, Father, that you may take the time to visit them and lift those burdens that they may have on their hearts, O God, that they may continue to draw closer to you. We also remember for the burdens that are being carried by those of us that are kneeling us here this morning. You know what we have in our hearts, individually and collectively. And Father, we just pray that you may listen to each one of us and be able to answer our prayers. But we especially pray, O God, that you may allow our hearts to be receptive to your will, that only your will may be done. We continue to praise thee and to honor thee, O God, and to be receptive to your blessings, O God. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's time for our story. I've got a special story for you today. My story's about a six-year-old. Any of you six? I know most of you are older. Are you six? All right. This is somebody about your size. Her name is Camille. Camille and her mother went to the laundromat. Do you know what a laundromat is? What's a laundromat? Yes. It's what?
It's where you clean your clothes.
It's where you clean your clothes, right. It's a room that has washing machine, washing machine, washing machine, washing machine. Dryer, 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 right? All right. And people that don't have a washing machine or dryer in their home, they take their clothes there and do their laundry. And they put coins in the machine. All right. Camille had her two cousins with her. And while mother was sorting the clothes, oh, before she got to sort them, she had to get them out of the car. Here's this big basket loaded with clothes. She takes it in. She sets it down. She goes back out, and she gets another basket of clothes. She hadn't washed clothes for several weeks. She brings it in, and she sets that down. She was hoping her washer would be fixed, and it wasn't. So anyway, she began sorting her clothes. Dark, this goes here. Light. This goes here. Oh, this is heavy. We'll put it in this machine. So she's busily sorting her clothes, and Camille and her two cousins are playing, and Camille decides it would be a good game to play hide and seek. So she begins looking. Where am I going to hide? She talked to her cousins, and they thought, that would be a good idea. Camille says, I'll hide. You count. So she starts looking. Where am I going to hide? Where can I hide? Then she got the idea. Here is a washer that has some clothes in it, and it already has the soap in it, so mother shouldn't be putting anything else back in it. So she climbs into the washer. It had an opening on the front, not on the top. So it wasn't a very big opening. She had to squeeze to get in there. Can you imagine getting into a washer? Anyway, she finally got in. She pulled the door closed. And she thought, they'll never find me here. This is the best hiding place. They won't find me. So mother's going along, and she gets her quarters, and she puts them in. And she came to the one where Camille was, and she puts quarters in, and she pushes them in. And all of a sudden, guess what happens? Water starts coming in. And it's hot water. And the door locks. Camille is beating on the door. Let me out. Let me out. Please let me out. The game's over. I don't want to play this game anymore. And she couldn't get it out. Mother hears this thump, thump, thump. She says, what is this? What did I put? Did I put tennis shoes in one? No, I didn't put tennis shoes in. What is this noise? And she listens, and she comes along, and all of a sudden she looks, and through the window she sees a face. And whose face is it? Camille's face. And she's crying, Mommy, Mommy, please get me out, get me out. Mommy gets a hold of the door, and she pulls and pulls. It won't open. And she grabs, and she pulls, and she puts her foot against it, and she pulls. It won't open, and the water's coming up, and Camille's crying and beating. And so mother runs to the door. She goes outside into the street, and she says, help, help, please help me, help, help. A car is driving by. 36-year-old man gets out, and he says, what's the matter? She says, my daughter is in the washing machine, and I can't get her out. So he rushed in, and he, big muscles, he'll get her out. So he grabbed a hold of the door, and he pulled, and he pushed the buttons, and he pulled. He couldn't get her. Wouldn't open. Would not open. And here, poor Camille is in there. Water coming up higher and higher. The man goes back out to his car. He gets into the trunk, and he gets out a tire iron. You know what a tire iron is? It's a thing you use when you take tires off cars. He takes that, and he ran back in, and he took that, and he beat against the window on the front of the washer. Broke the window. The glass fell in on top of Camille. He reached in, and he got a hold of her, and he brought her out. Getting her out, he cut her arm a couple places, but he got her out, set her down. By that time, people had gathered around, and they had called the ambulance. The ambulance arrived, and the man that rescued her had a big gash on his arm that had to be sewed up. Camille had to go to the emergency room, and she had some places that needed stitches, and she was checked all over, and she was okay.
Is she alive still?
She's alive, yes. She's alive. What do you think she learned? What did she learn?
Not to play hide and seek
in the washer. Or the dryer, or a refrigerator that might have been placed someplace for storage or to be picked up by trash. You don't get in of things like that that you may not be able to get out of. So what else might you learn from that story? You learned that there are people who will help. Don't be afraid to ask for help if you get in a situation that your parents may not be around. Be sure and ask for help. The other thing that I think we learned out of this is that it's important to be a helper. What if that man had not stopped? You know, it could have had a much worse ending. And as it was, he was a blessing to Camille and her mother. He was in the right place at the right time, but he had a giving heart. He was there to meet a need. And that's what Jesus wants each of us to do. He wants us to be ready and willing to help wherever there's a need. Do you want to tell Jesus that you want to be a helper? All right. Let's say a prayer and tell Jesus that we want to be a helper also. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these children and their love for you. We pray that you will be with them very closely, watch over them and keep them safe, and be that still small voice that tells them, walk this way and stay away from harm. They want to be your helper, and we ask that you give them that opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson is from John 4:29 and John 6:30, verse 35. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.
This morning, I will be interviewing people.
I hope you will be thinking how you met Jesus. Oh, I see you're a shepherd. Yes, I am. I was standing out on the hills watching my sheep. It was a cold winter night. We were standing around a fire when in the night sky there was a bright light. At first it was a frightening experience. Then an angel spoke saying, I bring you good tidings. My question, what good tidings? His response, there is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. My next question was, where? Then I remembered Micah 5:2. And I knew it was in the city of Bethlehem. The next thing I knew, there wasn't one angel, but multitudes, and the night sky was as daylight, an experience I will never forget. The next thing I remember, well, first my next words were, "Let's go to Bethlehem." When we arrived, all was calm, and we had to make it known that this very night the Savior of the world was born. Many marveled at our actions, like they didn't know what we were talking about, and that troubled me. The next thing I remember, looking at a small infant in a manger, and I knew right then that I was looking at the King of the universe. What a privilege was mine to be one of the first persons to meet Jesus. "Oh, I see you're a rabbi." "Yes, I am." "Well, where did you meet Jesus?" "Well, we were conducting school in an apartment connected to the temple. And in walks this young boy, I would say 12 years old. He seats himself at my feet. He was a good listener. And man, was he a good questioner. First he wanted to know about prophecies, and then he moved on to events. You know, his questions weren't narrow, but put before us a divine lesson, and he put truth in a new aspect. He wanted to know the meaning of the Isaiah prophecies. After all this, I thought, I could gain him as my student. He moved my heart, and my pride was humbled. His words started a train of thought that would never be forgotten." "Oh, I see you're dressed in camel hair." "Yes, I'm John the Baptist. I was preaching at Betharba, not far from where Israel crossed the Jordan, and a little distance from Jericho. My preaching had taken the attention of the nation. The demand for confession and sin seemed new and startling to my listeners. And my preaching was about the Messiah. The 70 weeks of Daniel prophecy was about to end. As I looked up, I saw this person coming toward me. I immediately recognized him as Jesus, and I proclaimed, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world.' I saw the Spirit descending upon him like from heaven, like a dove. I really didn't know him, but peace and joy animated my heart. There was nothing that betokened rank, only a face that blended divine compassion and conscious power. The next day, I saw him among the people and again exclaimed, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' He said to me, 'I need to be baptized.' The next event I remember was when he came up from the water and the heavens opened. There was a voice, 'This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased.' I was deeply moved as I saw Jesus bow as a suppliant. I knew then that I had baptized the Redeemer of the world. And I cried again, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world.' 'Oh, I see you two people. Oh, you're Andrew and John.' 'Yes, we were the first disciples. We were moved by an irresistible impulse. His first question to me and to John was, "What do you seek?" And we said, 'Teacher, where are you staying?' And he said, 'Oh, come and see.' We remained with him a whole day. It was our desire to be alone with him, to sit at his feet and hear his words. His words were full of freshness, truth, and beauty. I, John, saw the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I, Andrew, sought to impart the joy that filled my heart. I went and found my brother Simon. Simon and I shouted, 'We have found the Messiah!'" "Oh, you look pretty dignified, don't you?" "Yes, my name's Nicodemus." "Well, I was stirred by his teachings, and I desired to learn more. I was very concerned about the plotting of the priests that might bring fresh calamities to our nation. So I advised caution and moderation when I learned about the course being pursued. There was no doubt in my mind that he was sent of God, and I desired an interview, but not openly. I waited until the city settled down, and I sought him at the Mount of Olives. In his presence, I was timid, and my words really expressed unbelief. I really did not want him to come across that way. He got right to the point. Solemnly, yet kindly, he said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He looked at me and said, you need a spiritual regeneration, a new heart. I was startled at thought of a kingdom too pure for me to see in my present state. He didn't argue. He just said, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In my perplexed state, he used the wind to illustrate his meaning. I was drawn with his explanation of the new birth. When he spoke about lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, I could relate. I needed to look and live. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross, I remember that night. In the secret interview, I then saw Jesus as the world's Redeemer. Oh, young lady, I see you were at the well this morning. Well, yes, I was. You know, I was unconscious of his presence when I was filling my water pot at Jacob's well. As I turned to leave, he asked me for a drink. And I could not say, get your own. I noticed that he was a Jew. I forgot for a moment the request for water and asked, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of a Samaritan woman? His reply, if you knew who made the request, you would ask for living water. Living water? What is that? I said. Well, the well's deep, I said. His response, this water you will need to drink again, but the water that I give you, you'll never thirst. I just stood there in wondering attention. Then I said, give me this water that I thirst not. You know, my conscience was awakened when he said, go call your husband. And I replied, I have no husband. And he responded, you've had five of them, and you are living with a man now. My first words, you must be a prophet. Then, you are recording the secrets of my heart. Then some of his friends came and wanted him to eat. But it was obvious he was more interested in my soul than food. I was filled with joy, and I just left my water pot and I ran to the city. When I arrived there was a new expression on my face, and the people noticed it and believed when I told them about my encounter with Christ. You know, the townspeople came out to the well and they talked with Jesus and persuaded him to stay several days. And what a blessing for his disciples, our town and me. That is how I met Jesus. You know, I was in a crowd, and for 6 years, oh, I see you're vibrant now. Well, that wasn't always the way it was. For 12 years, I had suffered with an incurable disease. I had heard about the cures that Christ performed. Then one day I heard he was going to Jairus' house for some reason. There was a crowd, and I knew it would be difficult to get to him. But I was determined. I had followed him from the house from where he had been at Levi Matthew's house. And I was determined to reach him. I began to despair, but alas, he came near to where I was standing. With the confusion, I couldn't speak to him nor even get a passing glance. But as he passed by, I pushed through the crowd and I reached forward, saying, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. I barely succeeded, but in a moment, I knew I was healed. Pain and feebleness was gone, and I felt like a new person. Next thing I know, Jesus was saying, who touched me? I was red-faced and somewhat embarrassed. But he spoke to me in words of comfort and brought a wellspring of joy. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Amen. That knew I had been with Jesus, the Savior of the world. I surely went in peace and comfort. Boy, I see you're very vibrant today also. Well, that's not always the way it would be. It was a Sabbath day. 38 years I had spent time around the pool of Bethesda, lying on my mat, feeling alone and friendless, feeling like it was a shout-out of God's mercy. When, all of a sudden, a tender, compassionate face bent over me and said, wilt thou be made whole? Those words got my attention. Hope welled up in my heart. Yet I turned away wearily. I have no one to assist me. That person, who I did not know, just said, rise, take up your bed and walk. My faith grabbed hold of those words. My muscles, my nerves thrilled with new life. And I sprung my feet, finding myself an active man again. I believed this man's words, and acting upon them, I received strength. As I stopped to take up my bed, which was a rug and a blanket, I was looking for my deliverer, who was lost in the crowd, and I feared that I would never know him again. You talk about a firm, free step, and all the while I was praising God. My story to the Pharisees, though, was met with cold indifference. As they listened, and their stern question was, "Why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath?" That didn't go well. That didn't go down well with me. I felt no condemnation. Then another question. "Who did that to you?" Dumb question, since I didn't know. As I was bringing a sin offering and the thank offering, I met the person who healed me. He made himself known. He did say to me, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, since a worse thing could come upon thee." I was so overjoyed, and in my ignorance of the enmity toward Jesus, that I told the Pharisees that it was he. That is how I met Jesus. Young man, you have a story to tell, don't you? Yes, I do. And my mother had packed me a lunch, never thinking for a moment that it would feed so many. I was sitting listening to Jesus when two men came and asked if I could share my lunch with the people. Sure, but I reasoned how. They took my five small loaves or crackers and two pickled fish over to Jesus. He looked up to heaven, blessed it, and began breaking into smaller parts that just seemed to multiply with no end. All parties were fed from my lunch, and there were leftovers that were kept for people needing food that weren't there. You know, I can't fathom to this day what was happening, but I do know that I was part of a miracle that day. It was so exciting to see my humble fare meet the needs of thousands. And on top of it all, there were 12 baskets remaining that were carefully kept so nothing could be lost. A double blessing. That was the remainder was sent home with the throng. I left that day knowing that I was in the presence of God, for no human could multiply that little food into a repast for all. That day I ate bread by men's hands that was turned into heavenly food. I gave, and it was given to me. I see, young lady, you're very happy today. Yes, I am. But it wasn't always that way. I was considered an idolater and despised by the Jews. But my daughter was vexed with the devil, and I was in no position to worry about barriers. I cried out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." You see, I had heard of his wonderful works, and hope sprang up into my heart. You see, I had implicit faith. But he didn't respond immediately to my request. But I didn't lose faith. I just followed him, and I continued my supplication. I bowed at his feet, and I cried, "Lord, help me." He said something like this, "It's not intent to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Yet I saw compassion on his face, and I answered, "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." He turned to me and said, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt." That very hour, my daughter was made whole. The demon troubled her no more. I trusted the Lord's love, and I realized that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You look very rich, sir. Yes, I'm from rank and wealth. Let me tell you about my story. There was a deep interest stirring amongst the people of Jericho, and they were eager to pay him homage, knowing that recently he had raised Lazarus from the grave. You know, I was a collector of customs and not too well liked. Yes, rank and wealth were mine, but my heart was longing for a better life. I heard from John the Baptist the call to repentance. I knew my practice was wrong, especially when he said, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." I felt like a sinner before God. I needed to make restitution to whom I had wronged. Then news sounded throughout Jericho that Jesus was entering. I longed to look upon his face. The streets were crowded, and being short, I was at an advantage to see him as he passed. Using my ingenuity, I climbed up in a fig tree, seated myself among the branches to see that one figure I longed to see. As the procession passed underneath, I heard the voice and these words, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down for today. I must abide at thy house." Wow! I was overwhelmed, amazed, silenced. That very moment, I made a public confession. "Half of my goods I will give to the poor. And anyone wronged, I will restore fourfold." And Jesus said, "This day is salvation. Come to my house." This is how I met Jesus, not merely as a passing guest, but one who abides in the soul temple. "Oh, sir, I see you're a soldier." "Where did you meet Jesus?" "Well, let me tell you my story. My servant had been stricken with palsy and lay at the point of death. I was tenderly attached to my servant and greatly desired his recovery. I believed that Jesus could heal him. I had not seen the Savior, but the reports I heard inspired me with faith. Feeling unworthy to come into the presence, I appealed to the Jewish elders to make a request for the healing of my servant. I thought they would know how to approach him. When he was in Capernaum, and I heard he was, the elders told him of my desire. Then I heard he was coming to my house. In my self-distrust, I sent him a message that read, 'Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof.' At last, I ventured to approach him, completing my message by saying, 'Neither though I myself worthy to come unto thee, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed.' I know he could summon heavenly messengers, and they would impart healing, virtue. Jesus marveled at me and said, 'I have not found so great faith, not in all Israel.' Then he turned to me and said, 'As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee.' And my servant was healed in that very same hour. Although from far off, I discerned the glory of the Son of God." Young man, tell me your story. "Well, in my youth, I had gotten into the wrong association. I had seen and heard Jesus and was convicted, was turned away by the priests and rulers. Stifling conviction, I plunged deeper and deeper into sin until one day I was arrested, condemned, tried and condemned to die on the cross. I was in the company of Jesus in the judgment hall on the way to Calvary. I heard Pilate declare, 'I find no fault in him.' I noticed his godlike bearing and his pitying forgiveness of his tormentors. I saw the wagging heads and heard the upbraiding speech of my companion. Conviction came back to me when I heard passerbys telling of his works and the repeating of his words. That pressed upon me my conviction that there is a God to fear, a future that caused me to tremble. 'This is the Christ,' I tried to convince my companion that our life history is about to close. Then tender thoughts sprang up in my mind. I took call to memory what I had heard, how I had healed, how he had healed, and how he had pardoned sin. I saw the title above his head. My mind was illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and the chain of evidence was joined together. I see the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. My hope was mingled with anguish, and in my helpless voice I cried out, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom.' An answer came quickly, soft, melodious, full of love, compassion, and power. He said, Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I was saved at the 11th hour. Perfect peace of acceptance with God came into my heart. Those words of pardon spoken to me kindle a light that shines to earth's remotest bounds. I heard him say, it is finished. A light encircled the cross, and the face of Jesus shone like the sun. He then bowed his head upon his breast and died. That is how I met Jesus. How did you meet Jesus? Remember, he sent the Holy Spirit as his representative to enlighten, to bring one closer to Jesus. In your childhood, parents assisted by example, by showing their love, by being a protector in a time of stress. At your baptism, you decided to follow him. At a week of prayer, you dedicated your life to him. When you were facing a serious crisis, health or financial, here at church, maybe a sermon led you to him. Out in nature, seeing his creation, a sunset, a moment when a scene brought you in touch with him. At a camp meeting, 10 days of inspiration. Right now, for a few moments, I'd like to give you an opportunity to share, to listen to your story, because I'm sure it'll bring joy and memories to both for you and the church family. Who will be first? I'm not asking anyone in advance. This is spontaneous and not rehearsed. Anyone?
My story, I met Jesus a long time ago, but as I came up, I ignored him. And it was at the camp meeting, the 10-day camp meeting, that I made the decision to stop ignoring him. And I converted from a Baptist to a Seventh-day Adventist. And it was through a lot of things that went on in my life that brought me to the point where I can't continue to live like I was living. And once I made that decision, I seen a whole different picture. I seen things start to move in my life and in ways that it never had. And I can say that it's been truly a blessing to be on this side of the walk rather than the side that I've been on the other 22 years of my life. So I just thank God. I thank God that I'm here. I thank God that the Holy Spirit pushed me to make that decision. And I just encourage anybody else that's in my shoes or has been in my shoes to also take that same path.
Amen. Is there anybody else? Where did you meet Jesus? Amen. Carol.
Good morning. I was attending college in Springfield, Massachusetts, and it was like my fourth year, and I hadn't been attending church at all, and I was looking for one in the area. I had grown up in a Congregationalist church, and I did seek out information on the church that was there. A sorority sister of mine was getting married, and her husband was an Adventist, and she had been going to Bible studies. Well, the church in the area was having a tent effort that spring, I believe it was, under the direction of William Joseph, and I remember the Bible worker's name was Ernestine Kersey, and I started going to those meetings and learning about the Lord, learning information from the Bible, his teaching, his ways, what he had for us. And I have been there ever since.
Let me tell you, while we're waiting for a few more people, the first time I met Jesus, it was 1941, I think, or 42. We just moved into a new house. And it was a day when lightning and thunder was crashing, and I was a very afraid child. And my mother gathered me around and put my arms around me and said, "Don't worry, Jesus will protect us." That's the first day I met Jesus.
Amen.
Anyone else before we close?
As a young girl, I went to church in many different churches. I was in different church fellowships and stuff, and my grandfather was a choir director when I was young. But when I came to know Jesus was when my husband and I and our son rented a house from Lucille and Herbert Reed. Now, the older people in this church remember them. They were members here. They have long since died. But we rented their house, and Mr. Reed invited me to go to a Bible study with him. And I went, and then we started attending church here, and that's when I gave my heart to the Lord.
I heard about Jesus when I was young at Bible study or Sunday school, but I didn't really know him. Turned out later I met a man who in a coffee shop environment that we were just talking, and he ended up telling me his story. And he had been using heroin for many years. And his wife was saved and a Christian and wanted him to be saved and to accept Jesus, but he wouldn't. Until finally, it got so bad for him, he decided he would. And he accepted Jesus and became saved. And he said he was delivered from heroin that day. He didn't have to go through the withdrawal symptoms. He was delivered that day. And when I heard that, I knew Jesus was something different, somebody different. No one else could do that I knew of. And that's when he became alive in my heart. And then when I had another job, a young Hispanic man, it was an investigative business, and he would go out and do his reports and or his investigations, and he would come back and say in the little cassette tape he gave me to transcribe, he would tell a Bible verse and what it meant in his words, every single one he gave me. And so he used to tell us about the Lord in the office sometimes and invited me to be saved. He told me what it was, and I did go to his little church and was saved and baptized the same day. So I met Jesus in that way and changed my life then. But it took me a while to get to this church. I went to the Assembly of God Church for many years until this past winter, and I heard about Seventh-day Adventists and heard sermons and teachings on television after I got rid of my cable. So I ended up visiting here. I ended up learning and doing Bible study with some people, and still am, and listened to Strong Tower Radio. And I've made my decision to get rebaptized and become a Seventh-day Adventist.
Take a few more minutes. Let me tell you one more time where I met Jesus. This was later in my life. I was at college, and I didn't have the very best language. And one night, I was up in my room hanging some drapes, and the drapes weren't cooperating, and they fell down. And you can imagine what happened. It wasn't long when the loudspeaker came on and said, "Can you come to the dean's office?" I went to the dean's office, and he didn't remonstrate with me. He was something like Jesus. Quietly, he said, "You know, you really ought to just go out somewhere alone and pray about your problem." And so with that, I went out to the St. Joseph River and there was a stone out there, a big stone, and I knelt by that stone and asked Jesus to give me the victory. And he did, but I still find myself fighting it, but he keeps giving me the victory. That's how I met Jesus again. How about one more person, if we can, and then we'll wrap it up.
I'll share. I think for all of us, it's kind of a process we go through. And for me, it was a long process. As my wife says,
right
I do everything.
Front, Kevin, so we can all see you.
As my wife says, I do everything a little slower than most. But I won't take you through everything. But what happened with me was I always had an issue with this idea of hell and what is happening to people in hell and for eternity and all of that. And it was the study, and it was through some John Carter tapes, study of that subject that finally opened my mind up that, yeah, I think maybe there is a loving God out there, not a mean one, and I probably was more towards there isn't a God until that part of the process for me. So isn't the truth wonderful? So much better than some of the things we've been taught.
Anyone else? Just, I hate to... Tony.
I met Jesus through the lives of people who took the time when I was a youth, who took the time and put forth the effort to make a difference in my life. I think there's a number of people, but one specifically was a lady named Karen who would pick me up every week and take me to Pathfinders. And anything else, you know, any other event at the church, and she was instrumental in showing me who Jesus was.
Amen. Jeff.
I've known of God my whole life, but actually knowing God is a different thing. And for me, it was sort of amidst success where I took a step back and said, you know, I'm living life and I'm going to be comfortable and probably meet my goals and whatever that might be, but is that really what it's all about? And God kept saying, I've got something more for you. And that was when he really became real to me.
Thank you. I hope each one of you this week, well, we have one more back there, Drew.
Just really quickly, I have a similar, I think as everyone else, is a process that we go through and the Lord leads us step by step. Sometimes we kind of veer off and go different ways, but he's always faithful to bring us back. I've been a professing Christian probably for 7 or 8 years, but I don't think it's till this recently, this last year and a half or so, that I really came to I met Christ, understanding who he is and his person. And like Tony, just through people in my life, circumstances that God had brought me through, showing me through people who were, dedicated to him, to the truth, really showing me, you know, I had a lot of misconceptions of God, the way that I grew up and church history and everything. So I didn't always view him as a loving creator who desired to be intimate and have a, just had a lot of misconceptions of God. I viewed him as more of a, you know, a vindictive God who was kind of out to, every time I did something wrong, I got silent treatment, you know, kind of like for a while. So I just praise God for godly Christian people who emanate the light of Christ and have a desire to show that to other people through the Word, through the Bible, and through their lives.
This week, may you each in some way meet Jesus.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.